Institute published the results of a study showing that when Kansas farmers who had used 2,4-D were compared to a control group who had not been so exposed, that there were 6 to 8 times as many non-Hodgkin's lymphomas occurring in the group who had been exposed. That study, I think, has survived all scrutiny. With regard to the third element, 2,4,5-T, we know that when it was used to spray a national forest in Oregon a number of years ago, women in the neighboring town of Alsea, Oregon, experienced birth difficulties, abortions, and birth defects of 3 times the normal rate. With regard to the overall impact of Agent Orange, we have a study done by the Veterans Administration recently published, which showed when U.S. Marine Corps veterans who served in Vietnam were compared to a control group of Marine Corps veterans who had not, that there was, as I recall, on the order of 57% more lung cancer and 110% more non-Hodgkin's lymphomas than in the control group. We have additional veteran studies that have been reported to me that I have not yet read that tend to have confirmatory evidence as well. With regard to the frequently stated government position that one cannot establish dioxin levels in veterans, I think it's important to note that Dr. Arnold Schechter, who has visited Vietnam and has offered to testify, but to my knowledge has never been called, in taking samples of body fat from the population north of the DMZ, which was never sprayed with Agent Orange, has found normal levels. And in the fat samples of Vietnamese individuals south of the DMZ, where the Agent Orange was used, has found elevated levels of dioxin. With regard to the instant case, Mr. Barton, who had clearly exposure to Agent Orange, living in an exposed hooch, I think that the unique situation in his case is that probably through administrative oversight, a fat sample was taken by the Veterans Administration, and we know that he had about 3 times the normal level of dioxin in his body, according to the report that I have read. Finally, we have a statement in his record of his doctor who states that his reaction to the treatment of his lung cancer was almost nil, and that he, the doctor, has found that in other cases of individuals who had been exposed to Agent Orange. In my judgment, as a layman, the data is very, very significant to establish the linkage of Agent Orange and cancer in the human being. And the great lengths that have been gone to by the government to date to nullify the significance of data would border on being jocular if they were not so tragic. I do not, as someone who has had a lot of experience with the analytical method, understand how it is so possible to so disregard all of the data that the Deputy Director of the Veterans Administration was able to testify before the Senate Veterans Committee on May 12th, that there is not a shred of evidence to establish the linkage. I believe that there is overwhelming evidence of the probability, and that the time has come for the government to recognize that responsibility. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Admiral General. Appreciate it very much. Would you respond to questions?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Bailey, you have questions? Mr.
Frank? No, Mr. Chairman, I do not.
Admiral, thank you very much. You may be excused if you choose.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll go off the record just a moment. Thank you, clearly off the record about Admiral Zumwalt and his son left the hearing room. We are ready to hear further testimony. Mr. Wilton, are you ready?
Yes, I am, Mr. Blaskin. I've had an opportunity this morning to look over the file here, and obviously I'm familiar with most of the documents that are in here. But I read, for example, to establish service connection for a veteran's fatal illness or injury, the evidence must show that a disability incurred in or aggravated by service was either the primary cause of death or contributed substantially or materially to the production of death. And it goes, reads further down another paragraph, and this is from the Veterans Administration, and it's the summary of evidence and adjudicative actions taken in this matter. It goes on and further says it must be considered whether there may be a reasonable basis for holding that a service-connected condition was of such severity as to have had a material influence in accelerating death. You have sat where you sit for many such hearings, all of you, and I am familiar with a number of people who have come before the board. This is a matter in which a lot of time and effort and energy has been devoted to by the family as well as a number of interested people. I have said, as have some others, that we find this to be one of the most interesting and unique cases I have seen in my 8 years working with this Agent Orange issue. In fact, I have not seen another case like it. I think that there are certainly some unique areas that I just believe should be given considerable weight. As Admiral Zumwalt mentioned, at the time of death, the post-mortem dioxin analysis done by Dr. Bruce's laboratory at the University of Nebraska found 12 parts per trillion. We think that perhaps unlike other cases, Agent Orange-related cases that this board may hear, that whether it was an administrative error or oversight, notwithstanding the fact that a finding shows at the time of death 12 parts per trillion, we think that's important, and we believe should weigh heavily in a decision to adjudicate favorably the service-connected death of Wayne Barton. And what I wanted to suggest and will submit for the record, we have had a number of conversations in New Jersey with Dr. Kahn and Dr. Michael Gottschfeld, who are the co-investigators of our research project in New Jersey. And in an article that appeared in the lead article, the March 18, 1988 issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, the results of our Quintman 1 study were published. I think that some of the findings relative to this finding of 12 parts per trillion are extremely important. And if I might, I brought a graph that I'd like to show to the board to put in perspective this 12 parts per trillion and to, if I might, take back what I believe that means. And I don't know how many of you have read the March 18th article in JAMA, but our finding, based on a number of controls, and I'm sure, Doctor, you're familiar with, I'm not a physician, I'm sure you're familiar with most of this, but let me just point out to you that using in our research a total of 17 pooled controls, and we did both dioxin analysis in adipose tissue and in blood plasma. Since Wayne Barton's analysis by Dr. Gross was on abdominal tissue, I will use the results in the adipose analysis that we had done at the University of Umeå in Sweden to show the pooled controls, the mean parts per trillion level for the 17 controls, 7 of which did not serve in Vietnam at all, 10 of whom we said were either not exposed or were minimally exposed. These 17 controls ended up with a mean level of 4.3 parts per trillion. for those that did not serve in Vietnam, they ended up with a mean level of 3.2 parts per trillion. And I think what's interesting to that is the Center for Disease Control, who had asked to publish, co-publish with us, also released results, and the correlation between their work and our work was quite close, and their findings were essentially the same as ours. So I think it's important to point out that the pooled controls, the mean level in these 17 people was 4.3 parts per trillion, or if, for those that did not serve in Vietnam, was 3.2 parts per trillion. Consider that when we talk about Wayne Barton in April 1987 having in his body 12 parts per trillion. If we use the federal government's own recently released research, both from CDC and the Air Force, that was released at the OTA meeting on August 27, 1987, in which they found that the half-life, I believe in a total of 75 former ranch handers, the half-life was 7.1 years, the mean half-life in the body of those individuals. Using that same government figure, if we go back in terms of possibly forecasting the exposure level of Wayne Barton, what we find is this. In 1987, an analysis done for the Veterans Administration found 12 parts per trillion. 7 years prior to that, and I'll just assume you all understand the business of half-life, that figure would represent approximately 24 parts per trillion. Going back another increment of 7 years, in 1973, if analysis was done on Wayne Barton, one might expect to find approximately 48 parts per trillion of TCDD in his body. In 1968, when Wayne served, not quite another seven-year increment, and I think I've been very conservative in this estimate in suggesting that one might forecast that Wayne Barton had been exposed anywhere in a range of 48 parts per trillion to 96 parts per trillion of TCDD. We have presented evidence at the hearing in Des Moines and presented a witness that showed from the United States government considerable supporting documentation that indicated that Wayne Barton had served in an area that had been heavily sprayed almost on a daily basis. We will be happy to resubmit those tracking records provided to us by the United States Army, if you would so like. They include daily logs on the particular site location that Wayne Barton spent over a year. In fact, I believe he spent 13 months at a place that I'm familiar with called Bat City, right off Highway 1, an area with, as I said, heavy concentrations of spraying. So I think it's important to point out here that not only did Wayne Barton have opportunities to be exposed, more so than many Vietnam veterans for that matter. Dr. Khan at 4:30 this morning described Wayne Barton as moderately exposed, certainly not heavily exposed to the extent that one might find in some ranch handlers or spray handlers. Wayne Wilson, nor Wayne Barton, neither of us were ranch handlers or spray handlers. We went to Vietnam as soldiers, and we did what so many did there. Nevertheless, Wayne Barton had opportunities to be exposed, and we believe that that exposure contributes and contributes to, if you understand, as Dr. Khan said to me this morning, in fact about 2 hours ago, that it is known in the medical literature that TCDD is a promoter of certain types of cancers. Specifically what types may not be fully clear at this point, but I think that if we're going to have any kind of presumption, or if in fact this board would want to weigh in the favor of Mary Barton, one might assume that this moderate exposure, moderate to heavy exposure, contributed in some way to the lung cancer that Wayne Barton succumbed to 20 years or less than 20 years after his service in Vietnam. And I think that's what Mrs. Barton has said, and that's what I say, is that if in fact there is any way that the board could weigh in favor of the veteran or the widow in this case in the family, we believe there is more than sufficient evidence in this one case to warrant service connection. There has been some discussion, and I point out the mean body burden one finds in people not serving Vietnam. And there's been this suggestion that somehow 12 parts per trillion is at the upper range, or it's not even close to an upper range of 20 parts per trillion. The research done by the Centers for Disease Control and by our commission, quite frankly, I think some of these numbers that are being bandied about the country, quite frankly, I think have come from someone associated with CDC who has more of a public relations role than a medical or scientific role. I think he did that inadvertently running around the country, and somehow there has been credence given to it. But clearly, research does not show that the great number of Americans are walking around with levels at 20 parts per trillion. Perhaps in Newark, New Jersey, they are, but certainly not in Iowa. We would say for the record, and as I indicate to you, I had received a phone call at 4:30 this morning from Dr. Kahn. We did analysis over the last several days in Sweden, looking at a number of different chemical compounds in Wayne Barton's abdominal tissue. I believe they tested for 14 compounds, dibenzofurans, a number of other dioxin isomers, and I'm sorry, I just don't have that report this morning, but I am told by Dr. Kahn that with one exception, those other compounds were flat across, which in his mind indicates that Wayne Barton had not been exposed to any other toxic compound, other than one exception, which I will not put on the record at this point, but it was not TCDD, it was another dioxin isomer. And we will be, it is very unusual to be found in human beings, and it was found, I believe, at the 15.3 parts per trillion level of Wayne Barton, and we want to do some analysis on that before we present that as any kind of formal evidence or finding. So I would suggest to you that to consider this case and this case only, because I think it presents evidence that that other Vietnam veterans or other cases are not able to present. And so with that, I'd like to stop for a moment and either answer any questions you may have now or ask Mrs. Martin to comment.
I believe we'll just let you go ahead and ask questions.
If you have questions, submit. Then I'll stop for a moment and ask Mary to speak.
Okay, you want to go off the record for a moment? You mean, or just?
No, I'd like.
Okay,
I just.
Fine.
I think.
Proceed.
Martin would like to go.
Okay, very good.
I think pretty much everything that I had to say I said in February regarding what happened. I cannot sit here and say that I'm an expert on dioxins, but I can tell you that I'm an expert on how this affects the family. I have two children, and it's affected our entire family very, very much. And I'm pursuing this issue merely because my husband wanted to do this. He wanted to help with the veterans, and for no other reason. I didn't look back at that very much. This is why I'm doing this. And I hope that it can prove something for, I hope in the end that all the other veterans do not have to go this route that I'm having to go to group things, because it's very, very difficult. The burden of proof, I feel, does not suggest in your names. His place of employment has certain documentation stating that there was no way he could have obtained this in his 2.5 years service at Churchill Front Lines. The governor from the state of Iowa sent some documentation as far as a national dioxin study which also showed that excluding times H was zero, they found more dioxin in my husband's body than they found, like I said, except excluding times H was zero, which we have that number. So, otherwise, there's, well, I really have nothing further to say except to please lay all this evidence and let your conscience be your guide. I guess I'm sorry.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much for your comments. We certainly shall do that. That would be beautiful.
I might add, Mr. Chairman, that we will present a letter from an official of Churchill Truck Lines, and this report that was taken on a number of random soil samples, which, as Mrs. Barton suggested, and the analytical evidence that was given to me over the telephone this morning suggests that Wayne Barton was not exposed to anything other than one particular chemical, and we're not even sure that was a domestic exposure. That, in fact, may be an exposure that occurred in Vietnam. But we'll have to have that analysis done by people who are qualified to do that, and we will present that. So I just thought the uniqueness of this, and I think that the Veterans Administration has suggested that some errors were made, that the analysis on Wayne Barton, it's a matter of a verbatim transcript in which Dr. Hans Hobson says that that Wayne Barton, the analysis was done by mistake, that he should not have been had the tissue analyzed. Nevertheless, it was analyzed. Analysis has been completed this morning at the University of Umeå by Dr. Christopher Rappi, who is probably, as you know, the most preeminent dioxin chemist in the world. In fact, we paid for that analysis. Such care was taken. Literally, it took twice as long to do the analysis on Wayne Barton as is done in many other samples that are done. So, I think that this is a claim that bears service connection, and the record is full of letters. I think the regulations require that you show certain factors, and I believe physicians say for the record here in letters that the very aggressive nature of this cancer lends itself to certainly a cause other than just smoking. I looked at some of the figures from the VA's proportionate mortality study, and I believe, although I'm not an expert at some of this, that there was a slight increase in lung cancer among some of the Army veterans, certainly not to the degree that they found in lung cancer among Marines and Surgeons in the I Corps area. Our official response to that is that while dioxin or TCDD may not be a direct cause of cancer, the fact that it is such a strong promoter of cancer that that added to smoking, that those two factors may enhance to a great degree the probability, as Admiral Zumwalt pointed out, the probability of seeing the kinds of increased incidence, particularly lung cancers, that we see among Vietnam veterans that served in I Corps. And Wayne Barton served in I Corps. He was right up there with the Marine unit. And I would just ask that the service connection be granted in this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Before I forget it, you have submitted or offered for submission some documents that are not a record, is that correct?
I can't find any evidence that these two are.
I just got them.
Yeah, you know that you have the right to submit them to the regional office first for their initial consideration. But you may waive that right if you choose and let us look at it. You
want to do that? We'll waive that right and submit them here for your
consideration.
I might add that I don't know if this is part of the record or not, but Wayne worked for Churchill Truck Lines both before he was drafted and after he returned from Vietnam. So it was a total of 20 and a half years service.
And before I forget it, too, you're going to submit some additional evidence, this report. You'll waive consideration of that also.
Yes.
So we may consider it first.
Yes.
Do you understand the ramifications of that, Ms. Barton? So you just get one shot. We make a decision. Otherwise, you can go back. They make a decision and come up to us, and we make another decision in case they deny it. But by waiving a right.
They just certified it.
So
I think we can save everyone a lot of time just by letting you all.
That's fine. As long as it's on the record, we know where we stand.
Very good.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Wilson, Mr. Moore? I'll see if the board members have any questions. So. Bailey, you have a question?
Mr. Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Your figures of study that you did, as I understand it, you had 7 controls. Is that correct?
We had 17 controls, 7 of whom did not serve in Southeast Asia, but were matched for, I believe, 5 different factors, and 10...